Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Liverpool break Chelsea hearts in a penalty shootout at Wembley again. Jurgen Klopp finally puts an FA Cup in his trophy cabinet. The relegation fight is more dramatic than a season finale of Coronation Street. Riyad Mahrez could have hammered Man City's name on the Premier League trophy, but West Ham made sure that Mark Noble had plenty of reasons to smile in his 206th and final Premier League appearance at home. James Sharman and Jimmy Brennan haven't smiled since Morgan Riley's second period goal. So we'll do our best to make them smile today, Craig Forrest. What do you think, buddy? Shall we, or shall we just laugh at them?
It's just sad now. I feel sorry for the Toronto Maple Leaf fans. They just can't get by the first round.
This just in, the Toronto Maple Leafs are cursed. Charms? Hey,
I want to just educate you a little bit here that Coronation Street doesn't have seasons. It's continuous. They don't have like big cliffhangers at the end of a season. They'll have their Christmas episode that will have a big cliffhanger, but it's pretty much throughout the entire year.
Really?
Nonstop for like 60-odd years.
No breaks.
No breaks.
How do they keep the attention, Jimmy?
What does that have to do with the price of tea in China?
What?
Are we talking about the Leafs right now? What are you talking about?
Jimmy, I was trying to steer these assholes away from the Leafs.
No, but my issue is old Forrest there having a little giggle going, oh, I really feel sorry for the Toronto fans. Does he fuck? He doesn't care one iota about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
He also roots for the Canucks.
Well, that says it all.
I'm not one of these guys that I'm going to support Canadian. We've got to have a Canadian team. I'm going to support all Canadian teams. Fuck that. Manchester fans, if Man United are supporting City right now, or City Man United, like, no, it doesn't happen.
You're telling me you weren't at all paying attention to the Canadians in the final last year, hoping that they'd do it again?
No,
I sure as hell wasn't.
Well, not you guys. I'm talking to Craig.
The actual Montreal Canadians.
Yes, the Montreal
Canadiens. Yeah.
Well, is there another?
I actually like those. I like them a little bit better.
Is the Bowmanville Canadians?
I thought you might say that. Yeah. Well, that's enough hockey talk, guys, because hockey's over, obviously. So, again, condolences to you lot and my dad, who I know is suffering. And he'll definitely be suffering if somehow Liverpool can pull off a Premier League title win. But let's start with the trophy that they did put their hands on, the FA Cup. A typical cup final. I really did think we were going to get a goal in 90 minutes, though, boys, didn't you? Again, no Liverpool.
I didn't think we were going to talk about this because you didn't put it in the lineup.
Okay, so to bring the listeners into our WhatsApp group chat, I just clipped my notes and missed the lead, to which you ran with the joy that I must have forgot the biggest game of the weekend, apart from the Game 7. But no, I certainly didn't forget, though I did not have the vested interest that you did. So how are you feeling? How are you feeling watching that?
Oh, I enjoyed it. Again, that's two nil-nils between these two teams that has been such brilliant, compelling sport viewing. Great nil-nils. Great drama. Great theatre. Alisson's save, by the way, at the end. I don't think enough was made of it, Craig. Mm. That was incredible, that save.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he was made man of the match, wasn't he?
Was he? I missed that. I don't know.
You were too busy celebrating. Yeah, was this as compelling, though, as the Carabao Cup game? Or
it wasn't as good. It wasn't quite as good as that. I mean, that was ridiculous, but it was still really fun. It was great to watch and great chances, drama, you know. Didn't like to see Mo Salah get subbed off or Van Dijk, obviously. Big concerns there, but, I mean, what do you want from a cup final? People would look at that and the box score and, oh, nil-nil, that sucks, because often the FA Cup final isn't great. But that was a really good game. Okay, not a great game, but a really good game.
Can I ask you something? Do you remember most of it? Because the last big game that you watched, you forgot half the most important things that happened in the match.
Which one was that?
Do you remember the last time?
Oh, yeah. I missed one play. I missed one play City when Liverpool. Alisson almost screwed up. One.
Then he blamed it on. I've had quite a few Guinnesses, Jimmy.
Yeah.
At 11:30 this morning.
I'm a lot more sober this weekend than I was that weekend.
Hey, there was lots of, quite a few comments about penalty shootouts again and, you know, should we be going until sudden death or this sort of thing? And I have to agree that ideally that would be the case. However, they put more pressure on these players all the time and competitions are getting longer. Champions League is going to be two games longer next year in the group stage. They don't have enough days, these players and the pressure. I think Liverpool are getting close to 60 games this year. You know, you just don't have the legs to keep going until, do you, Jimmy?
No, I agree with you 100%. You don't, you know, once you get through that 90, especially a match like that as well, where so much is at stake, you use so much energy, not only physically, but mentally as well. And then you get through that 90. And the max that you're going to do is another 30 minutes. And then after that, there's no way you can keep going, because after that 90 minute, you've probably ran about 12 kilometers, 12, 13.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go extra time, which is probably another couple of kilometers. Your body is finished by the time you've gone into extra time. So if you kept on going and did a sudden death like they do in hockey, it would be a disaster. And there's no way awful. You could do it.
And it would be bad football.
It would be physically impossible for the players.
Hey, what the Leafs might be okay if they went into a penalty shootout because they're shite in OT.
What if they...
one game in OT. But anyway.
Golden goal. What if they brought back golden goal? Would that make extra time more exciting? Because I often,
you know
what
the issue
that.
With that will be? I mean, I like golden goal, but when they had that before, teams were so defensive in extra time. They were so defensive. They were so terrified to concede that goal. There was no attacking play. Happened occasionally. They had the silver goal. Remember that when if you scored, each half was considered its own match, right? So if you scored a goal in the first half of extra time and at the end of it you were still ahead, then you won the game. The second half, the same thing, which made more sense. I don't mind penalties, and that sounds crazy from an Englishman, but like you guys said, I mean, 120 minutes, that's a lot of football. I'm kind of done by that point. I want it over and done with. Let's finish this thing. And it's still skill. It is skill. It's not a lottery, like people say. You know, dealing with that mental... tension, that anxiety is a skill. So, you know, I don't like it, but I think it's the right way to end these things, that's for sure.
I think the golden goal is one thing that went away primarily because of broadcasters. They didn't know when the game was going to end. They liked the structure of the broadcast and where it was going to end and fitting commercials in and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's a good point you bring up, but I mean, they do have to buy that extra window in order to facilitate what we got on Saturday. Like, I couldn't believe when I turned it off, and the broadcast was still on, but I turned it off to go upstairs. It was 3 o'clock. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It had my attention for what started at 11:30, right? So
how long did DAZN or the FA Cup feed stay with the celebrations?
I'm not sure how long it stayed.
It's a long time, though, was it? Because I was on BBC, and they got out pretty quickly on BBC. They stayed to the trophy celebration, and then it cut out pretty soon after that.
No, DAZN had stayed after that, after the trophy celebration. I don't think they'd had any, I don't know if they had any speakers, any post sound, but they'd stayed for quite a while.
BBC didn't get much post sound, if any. So they got out, but they had like songs of praise or something to get to. So
do you think they were off at 2:30 then? Or before?
It may be, I can't remember what time it was, maybe, but yeah. It was. I was surprised how quickly it was because I wanted more. Mm. So then I went to, I think, ITV.
So wait a second. So I'm reading between the lines here, which is difficult to do with you lot. You're saying is television is the problem?
Yeah.
Because television is the reason that we've got 70 games a season per team if they're good enough. Television is the reason.
63, isn't it? I think that'll be it for Liverpool.
63 the max.
And not just that, but they're playing, they're going to penalties in the Carabao Cup, penalties in the FA Cup. What if they go to pens in the Champions League? They play the maximum number of minutes as well.
Mm.
That's crazy. Thank God there's no World Cup this summer, because they'd be fucked.
Depends on the first in the League Cup, every player had one. Remember, it was Kepa.
Yeah, oh, it was crazy. Yeah. You went through, what was it, 12 or something?
Yep. Yeah. Or 11.
It was a Kepa.
No,
Kepa
went to the 11th, man. Yeah.
Right.
Were you surprised that Mendy stayed between the sticks and they didn't turn to Kepa? Jimmy?
No. I thought he had a great game. I thought he did well.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was a need for them to change.
No.
Didn't not at all.
Last time. Bad idea the first work. Time.
Yeah, I don't agree with it, because I think he's in the game. You know, you've got that feeling for the game, and then just pull him out, put somebody cold in. Hopefully he's going to save a penalty with that pressure. No, I don't agree with that.
Both of them with a couple of Borean moments in the first half.
Yeah.
On their ass. I didn't know if they were going to come out or what. But I think a lot of people anticipated that Kepa would get a look if Mendy wasn't anything above 95%. But no, we didn't get it in the end. Did you feel
go ahead.
I was going to say the celebrations feel a little muted, like right at the end, like Tsimikas scores, they go nuts. And then like 2 minutes later, they're all kind of standing around waiting.
What do you want?
It seemed weird. No, I guess it just felt like it just very much felt like here's a team that went to Wembley today expecting to win. They did it. And now they're already on to the next thing.
Maybe it's because, as we discussed last time, it's still in the middle of the goddamn season.
Yeah.
And they can't go on a big bender now and celebrate, because they've got a game coming up Tuesday against Southampton.
They got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, but the other thing is too, you guys got to keep in mind, you've really got three celebrations. One when the game's finished, right? Then you march up the stands, and then you receive the trophy, another little celebration, and then you come down onto the pitch again, and then you take the photo with the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so there's three sets of celebrations that go through the day after the match.
So don't blow your load in the first celebration.
No, because you still got a couple more after that.
You got to save it for the change room.
Spread the load out.
Well, and then you got the change room, and that's where you really explode.
All the sponsored non-alcoholic beers spraying all over the room. Yeah, there you go. Any Chelsea points? I thought Christian Pulisic was great. I mean, he did everything but score.
Pretty important thing, though, scoring, isn't it?
that might be his problem.
Yeah,
he always gets chances. I like him. He gets so many chances. If he could just finish a move, then he'd be, you know, a guaranteed starter for that team every week. I think he gets a bad rap with the fans. I think he's a good player.
But it seems like you're giving him a stick for being a poor finisher.
Yeah, he is a poor finisher. But he's still a good player. That might come in time. Bit of composure, perhaps.
Hmm. Do you know, if I was at one of the big clubs and I had loads of money to spend, unlimited, there's one player from Chelsea that I would be number one on my target, and that's Conte.
Mm-hmm.
I would spend everything to get a hold of that guy.
Well, Manchester United might do that.
That's a rumor. Phenomenal. What a player, man.
Is that a rumor, United?
Yeah, that's the gossip.
That'll cost him a fortune.
He's been off his game a little bit in recent weeks, though. I think he's exhausted. I mean, no one runs more than that guy.
No.
He's been off his game a little bit, and you see how Chelsea have kind of, like, they don't favor, not that they don't favor him, but he's not the priority, it seems, that just seems so obvious to us. Chelsea have gone through waves of this, right, where they don't rely on him as much as we think that they should. So I wonder if maybe Ten Hag looks at that and thinks, oh, off his game a little bit, they don't seem to value him as much as they probably should. Let's give it a go. And as Jimmy said, like, what a hell of a player that would be to get if you're United or someone else. But in United's case, that may address a lot of problems.
He's 31 years of age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Modric is still... So you got 5 more years out of him if he can do a Modric.
With the engine, though, that he's got, can he do that for 5 more years? I would question that. I would. 36 years of age doing that sort of thing. Look at Mark Noble. He's 36. He can't get around the pitch anymore. Mm-hmm. He's done. Not that he ever was Kante, but I'm just saying that, like, eventually there's a reason why Jimmy retired. because he couldn't get his freaking feet off the ground.
Look at B. B's almost 36. He has trouble getting around the field as well.
Hey, Jimmy, I actually remember the game when I saw a game and I think it was Columbus and there was a ball came in the box and it was just above your head and you went and jumped to head it clear, like pretty simple. And your legs didn't work.
No, I couldn't get up. You couldn't have got a newspaper under me.
No. And I was like, uh-oh.
I think no. That's yeah. When the legs are going, honestly, it feels like, and I'll tell you this, right? And the one thing that I did have, and you know, I had pace. I was quick. Mm. But towards the end, it was like I was running in quicksand or I had a parachute on my back. Because I'm getting passed by certain people. I'm going, how are they passing me?
Mm. Was it gradual, Jimmy? Or was it like a moment, like you realize, shit, now it's gone? Or was it, you know, a couple of bad games, maybe a run of bad games? I had to, something's not quite right. How was it you identified what was wrong?
I think it was more of a moment where I just realized it. Jesus, I can't run like this anymore.
He was trying to deny it for so long. He used to blow by people like with ease, yeah. You know, and then all of a sudden you're like, either these guys are getting quicker or I'm getting slower.
And then you're going up against 19, 20-year-olds who are just rapid. They run like Usain Bolt.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to be clever and, you know, drop a couple of yards just to give myself a little bit of time and beep, beep.
See ya. That's a good point. But
goalkeepers were like, push up, Jimmy, but get out. You're just like on the 6-yard box.
Yeah, can you guile your veteran nose? Can that get you through an extra couple of years or another season?
No, yeah, it does, right? Because what ends up happening is you start to adjust, right? So you start reading the game and you start putting yourself in good positions. But the one thing you can't stop is pace. Mm-hmm. You can't stop it. You know, the tactical side, okay, reading the game and adjusting and maybe dropping a few yards or maybe tucking in another 3-4 yards so that they're going out wide. And you can move your body to manipulate where the ball's going to go. But when you're lining up against a guy that just knocks it 30 yards past you and he just goes vroom, straight past, you got no chance. You're just screaming at your center back, help, come across.
That's why Mexico sat back against Canada in Azteca, never seen before, because of that reason alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pace, rapid. Pace.
You can't teach it. That's a God's gift. And if you got it, poof.
Speed kills.
And there's a few positions where you can rely on guile and that experience and knowledge, right? That's why you have 37 and 38-year-old Brazilian-born center backs like Pep and Thiago Silva. But I can't think of a 35-year-old fullback that's at the top of their game.
That's a good point. It's a good point, isn't it? Usually it's center backs or it's even center mids.
A striker.
Azpilicueta's getting up there, isn't he? And I would still say he's pretty damn good.
Dave?
Yeah, he's
getting up
Dave,
there.
His team's after Dave, right? Who was it? Was it Barcelona after Dave?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Which surprised me, because I love the guy. He's an absolute legend there, but it's not as if he's a difference maker at this point in his career.
You were talking about how you wanted the FA Cup at the end of the season to be the last thing. Usually the season's over before the transfer rumors start, but Barcelona are going to try and bring Messi back, supposedly, if you're to believe.
That's been making the rounds for a while now, isn't it?
John Laporta. Yeah, I forget. He'd done an interview or something, and he'd said something in a bit less cheeky of a way than he had previously that makes people think, mind you, it's that time of year, and now that the club's seasons have wrapped up on the continent.
I hope it happens. I mean, let's just let that happen. Let's just forget that this last year happened at all for Messi. It just didn't happen. You know, you speak to Germans about what happened, you know, in the 30s to 40s, and they say that didn't really happen. It just did. This alien ship came down and some really bad things happened, and now we don't, you know, talk about it. Right? Let's do the same thing with Messi going to PSG. It's tarnished him.
I think what's crazy, though, and I didn't want to spend too much time on Messi now, but you bring up a good point. If he goes back, and though only 1 year has passed, this is a very different Barcelona. And I don't know if he comes back in a situation that's any better than Ronaldo going to Manchester United now, where so much time has passed, albeit only a year, but with Xavi, the team that they've built, the additions that they made in January, where does Messi fit into that? And are they then running everything through Messi because he's the GOAT?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it happening unless there's a strong team there to go back to. Quite some comparison there, Sharms, as well, by the way. The Germans of the 30s and the 40s. Let's forget about it. Like, okay.
Well, they're even talking about Ronaldo going back to Real Madrid. So that'd be interesting if they both do.
That makes less sense. I think that makes less sense than they're Messi going to Barcelona, doesn't it? Real Madrid, La Liga winners, potentially Champions League winners, Benzema becoming the greatest striker in world football. Let's bring Ronaldo back, the guy that, you know, forced him to play in his shadows for 8 years, nine years. Crazy.
Unless they think that either Benzema's got his eye on something else or physically that Benzema can't keep doing this for another season.
Hey, Lewandowski's available too, right? Maybe that's going to... Apparently he's turned down Bayern's offer.
Yeah.
But then I think Bayern denied they'd given an offer or vice versa. Something happened. Some weird stuff there.
Again, this the season's barely over, right? The Bundesliga just ended on Saturday. And before Saturday night, all of these rumors are out.
Hey, listen, boys, we just signed a deal just at the end of the season. So we need some meat to chew on for the next few months and put out some good content. So let's hope to Christ these rumors come to fruition.
Football doesn't stop anywhere.
No,
it doesn't.
No. It doesn't stop. Neither does the Premier League title race. We still got that, thanks to Craig's Hammers holding Man City to a 2-2 draw. Riyad Mahrez had a penalty saved by Fabianski in the 86th minute that would have put Man City's hands on the trophy, but wasn't meant to be. West Ham came to play.
What a game. Absolute fantastic from start to finish. The noble stuff going on beforehand and then during the game as well and the way they played. I got to say that, you know, West Ham, gutsy. Every one of them, just very likable group of players and work so hard for each other. And Man City are, you could see that they're class above everybody, just about, you know. And the way they play is absolutely fantastic to watch, but couldn't match them, where they matched them with desire and work ethic. And Antonio had a great chance off a mistake to make it 3-1. And I think that would have buried City at that point. But then Fabianski also making the penalty save late in the game was terrific. So all in all, very good to a result for West Ham. And you know what? Not a bad one for Man City. It doesn't really change anything, does it?
No, it doesn't. Especially with the goal differential the way it is now, how they flipped out on its head as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, it makes it more exciting, right? Liverpool plays Southampton on Tuesday at Southampton. And then next weekend, where is it here?
Wolves.
We have, is it Wolves? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Liverpool hosting Wolves. City are up against City. City are up against Villa.
City hosting Villa.
Yeah.
So if Liverpool lose at Southampton on Tuesday, that's it. City are champions.
Yeah.
If Liverpool draw at Southampton, then Liverpool need a win over Wolves and a City loss to Villa. But then you mentioned the goal differential. Those results got to be big enough to pull up. I think it's a 7-goal swing. Mm-hmm. Goal difference.
I need to borrow your Philippe Coutinho Villa shirt this weekend, B.
Yeah.
He's fantastic, by the way. Still.
Coutinho.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's done, right? It's a permanent move now, right?
It is done. Permanent move. It still seems so surreal. And it's only cost them, was it 12, I think?
Yeah.
12 or maybe 20 with bonuses, but it was supposed to be 35. And I didn't think that they were going to do it. Plus, he's on $350 million a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. Excellent.
Good signing. Excellent.
Is it ever?
We've got weeks and weeks to fill our shows talking about rumors and signings, so I won't go down on that. But do you know the number, to go back to Mark Noble and his special day, do you know the number of appearances that he's made? Do you know the exact number? So if not, we can 4, play 000, a close
450.
Game. Okay. 4,450. Jimmy, what do you got?
No, 450.
4,000.
Yes, James clocked in 4,000 appearances. I know.
I'm going to say 573.
Appearances for West Ham?
Appearances for West Ham.
430.
450. Wonger, do you want to jump in with a number here for Mark Noble?
Yes.
How many appearances has Mark Noble, legendary West Ham captain?
17 years, right? 17 years. 36
18,
years. 18. He's 36. Doing the math, 40. Let's say 680.
You've gone over. I don't think you're closest to. I think Jimmy's closest.
How about JC? He's going to have a guess here.
Well, I do have a guess, and I'm going to go. So you said it's 18 seasons?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with at least 45 games. At least.
Legend.
Yeah. I think if he plays the last game, it's 550 or something.
You're bang on there, buddy. Yeah, 549.
So what did you say, 460? Whatever it was. Your initial guess.
I said 450, but I meant 550.
Oh, you just Googled it.
I think he was trying to make this
you
game
Googled it, didn't you? You did. Googled it.
No. You did.
No, he was being a good co-host. He knew what I was trying to do. And he thought, well, if I hit the number bang on, then I'm going to kill this game. So let's have fun. Dunny's trying to be a real professional here.
Well, I said 430 and I meant 560.
Yeah, that's it.
You're over. If you're over, you're out. Have you ever played The Price is Right over or under? Come on.
Yeah.
Sunday was his last at home. 206 at home in the Premier League. Only six players in Premier League history have made more home appearances for one team.
So there you go. We were talking about.
And he's one Jack squat.
The other day. Well, exactly. But look what it means to him and the team and that club. And what a legend he'll be able to go back. And you look at all these other mercenaries that go around winning trophies, and they're not liked or loved or by anybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's good
but they're
point.
Happy.
In their villas and the islands around the world.
When they're having a glass of wine sitting in with their trophy cabinet.
He still lives in a bed sit.
A bit of a mercenary.
He still lives in a bed sit in East London. But he's a one club man.
They had a nice embrace with Pep Guardiola at the end. Did you see that? It seemed like it meant a lot to the two of them.
Is he begging for a job?
I wonder, eh? Maybe. You mean Pep Guardiola to West Ham next season?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you think that if Noble went to Man City, for example, in any other club as a coach or an assistant coach, that would tarnish his legacy at West Ham? If he went to Millwall as an assistant coach, would that
would never happen, ever. Ever. He's never going there. Steve Lomas made that mistake.
What did he do? Go there to coach?
He went there as a manager, yeah. And as soon as they lost two games in a row, they're after him. They wanted to just throat.
Because they're going, you're doing this on purpose.
Yeah. They just hate the Hammers that much. Yeah. Unless you're massively successful, as soon as you go on a tailspin, you're done.
I get it's got to be an ego thing, right? With where these people think, you know what? I can overcome the fact that you must hate me for what I've done before. I'm going to win you over because I believe in myself that much and I know I can do the job. So,
well, with Steve Lomas, I know exactly what it was. He was doing quite well up in Scotland, St. Johnstone, right? And he wanted to, you know, he wanted to have a crack at the English league and he wanted to be a manager in it. And your opportunities don't come around all that often. And this one did. And he rolled the dice that it would work out. But it's hard enough as for managers. You know, the average manager lasts less than 2 years. And, you know, at Millwall and your former West Ham, you could 2 months maybe.
Yeah. But it happens a lot. It happens a lot where they cross over and go to the rivals and end up managing teams. You know, if you look back, Mark Hughes went to Man City.
Yep.
Yeah, it's still different than Millwall and West Ham.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Remember Harry went to, was it Southampton from Portsmouth or vice versa? I forget now what it was.
Yeah, and that's a big rivalry.
That's a big one, right? Mid-season as well. And I think it was to Pompey, wasn't it? And he got to the FA Cup final. Wasn't that what it was? Can't remember now. But it was, again, like he was a legend at his previous club. I think it's
Matt Letizier, you know, he was a player of a caliber that could have gone to a top four club.
Yeah.
He decided to stay at Southampton. You know all about him. Jimmy is an absolute freaking legend.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Every bar in the town.
It's incredible. They carry him in the streets there. I remember going into the stadium. He was there and he was such a legend. Everybody was stopping him, talking to him. If you went out, if there's any events,
Yeah, he's here, there, and everywhere. He loved it. Very good socially.
Yeah. But not social media-y.
No, he's got some interesting views.
Gets in trouble.
Yeah.
We've all got in trouble on social media at some point for something. Right, Wonger? That's right. How about the relegation fight? We're talking about managers and just in general and the toll that it takes. Sharms, we always used to say, you know, joke that we were worried about Steve Bruce's health. I look at Frank Lampard and I worry for his health. Not in the same way, not to compare him to, he certainly doesn't look exactly like Steve Bruce, but he doesn't look like as healthy of a guy as he was at Chelsea a few years ago.
It just shows the draw, like how these guys are so competitive, right? And they retire and they need to get back in the game to fill that void. Because Frank Lampard, you would think, had everything going for him. Riches beyond imagination, you know, beautiful wife, could have gone into media. He's well-spoken, easy life there, make lots of money. But he was drawn into football. And you look at his life now, and if he goes down with Everton, which we'll see, even if he doesn't, you know, it has not been a success there. Mm-hmm. His life has got to be just 24/7 stress, anxiety, tension. It can't be enjoyable. I don't know if the need for that drive is worth it, quite frankly. He could have had a really easy life, a lovely life.
Like Sir Bobby Robson said, my alternative was going to Sainsbury's on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock with my wife. I, as much as I love her, I not really want to do that.
You should try it first, though. It's not that bad.
I think he did, didn't he? Frank had to get there. Was a gap there.
I guess I don't think he went to Sainsbury's too often, though. They definitely had it delivered.
No. He got divorced, the first wife, so he's on number two.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay. He could be on Footy Prime then.
Yeah, relationships expert Jimmy Brennan. Well, for what you're
3-3
do.
Out of our six.
Hey, yes, yeah, we're doing all right. You know, JC, yeah. B, and myself, we're doing 50-50. Okay.
50-50.
Yeah.
The young guys.
Well, I guess that's it, eh? Well, Jimmy's considerably younger than you, Wonger.
Yeah, Jimmy could be my nephew. He looks like one of my nephews, except his eyes are further apart.
The nephew that, as your uncle, needs to, like, you know, you keep your arm around him a little bit.
Was he a fish? Yeah, he's like Blinky, the three-eyed fish from Simpsons, by the nuclear reactor.
Nicknamed Cod. That was David Platt. That's what they used to call him, Codhead. Right. I think that was Nigel Quasi that started that one.
Is he? Platt's not managing anymore, is he?
No. No, I don't think so. He's probably living in Sardinia. That's where his house was.
He played there for a few years, didn't he? Yeah. What a player he was, by the way.
That's what happens. Like I said, less than 2 years, your first chance, 50% of those managers get no chance ever again. And then those ones, if you're lucky, you go on. But otherwise, you disappear.
I'll tell you a story about Platy, right? So we lived in the same complex, right? Like these apartments. And he had the penthouse suite and I was like on the second or third floor, and it was only maybe like six stories.
Room closet.
Yeah. So anyways, his condo was up for sale. Right. And now this guy had property everywhere. And do you remember Mizuno? They used to have the DP International, the DP International boots. So that was his brand. Like he was just raking in money all over the goddamn place. Right. Come to training in his yellow Ferrari. And so I remember one day his condo went up for sale. So I pull him. I'm going, you know, I'm going to talk to him. Maybe he'll give me a little deal. Cause he did buy me, he bought me from Forrest, right? He liked me. Maybe he'll look after me here. So I said, Platy, I said, your penthouse is up for sale. He goes, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I said, well, why don't you sell it to me? He goes, no. I said, why not? He goes, cause I know what your wages are and you can't afford it. I was like, okay. I just walked in the dressing room with a tail between my legs.
No deal then.
Yeah, no deal. I was like, you prick.
That's good on him looking out for you, though.
All that money you got, you just can't help me out. I was young. I was like 21 or something. No,
so he was looking out.
Was there what? He Bristol to Forest, right? He brought you the Forest?
Yeah, he bought me it.
Okay.
Yep. He wanted to see his financial decisions.
His team's managed here. So this is how it shows you. So Sampdoria, he was manager, 98 to 99. Forest, 99 to 2001. Then England under 21 for 3 years. Yep. Then took 6 years off, got back into coaching at Man City as a first team coach at 2010 to 2012. A year spent as co-assistant at Man City. And then in 2015, Pune City. Pune.
Didn't Hume play there?
Was that where Hume played in Pune?
Hume didn't play there, but that's in the Indian Premier League.
Yeah, yeah. And that's 2015, and I don't know what he's doing now. I'm trying to figure it out here.
Yeah, Puntang FC, that's right.
I don't think that's the one, Jimmy.
Oh, that's not the one?
No, I think you're thinking of something different there, I think.
No, that's a Thai team. This is an Indian. Oh.
you just mixed the Thai team and the Indian team together.
Sorry. I apologize to anybody that offended. I thought it was one of the teams there.
Yeah, you're getting your Super Leagues mixed up here, guys.
It's a racial faux pas, I think.
God, I don't remember what game we were on. Was it Everton still? Yeah. They had a 2-1 lead, evaporated in 2 minutes. Two Brentford goals just after the hour mark. Salomon Rondon comes on in the 84th minute. 4 minutes later, gets sent off. Everton finished with 9 men. Like, Toffees fans
and
must
an own
feel
goal.
Like,
own goal, right, for Conan. Honestly. Like, how Everton is that? Two red cards and an own goal.
But specific to the end there, watching, you know, this slow death here, like, they must feel like they're still being trolled by Rafa. Rondon comes on and gets sent off 4 minutes later. God.
Special agent Rondon.
Everton have 2 games though, right? They visit Palace on Thursday and they host Arsenal on Sunday. So they're not in the worst situation, but they need some points to cover their ass.
I put on our dark web. I just said the pictures, the photos that they were showing from that game. I watched the entire game. The photos they were showing with Everton spectators with their hands in their heads reminded me of the Leafs last night. I know we talked about Leafs at the beginning, but they were so frustrated, but at the same time knowing that their team is going to lose. That's how it felt to me, and I think that's how Leafs fans maybe feel.
But the difference is with the Everton fans is that they could get kicked out of the NHL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the money that comes with that is disappearing to a point. You got the parachute payments. It can be absolutely catastrophic for a club.
This is more like
this year in the NHL, Montreal Canadiens were in the bottom three. They would have been relegated out of that league, the NHL. You know what I mean? Like,
oh no, I understand.
I know. And that's why it's so intriguing.
Yeah.
At both ends of the, you know, of the tables on all the leagues, because of that reason, there's American ownerships in the leagues don't like that. But from a sporting standpoint, fan standpoint,
that's brilliant. Well, you look even a championship. The winner takes home £125 million to go into the Premier League.
Yeah, exactly. They it's well over $200 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
When you look at Stanley Cup, I think the winners are getting $5 or $6 million. But I mean, that is the biggest game in sports. It's a Champions Final because of that. You've gone from 0 to 60 in no time. $200 million. Now you get more parachute payment if you can stay in the Premier League for one season. So, like Brentford, they will, if they got relegated next year, they would get more money in their 3 years to soften the blow.
Yeah.
Leeds won. Brighton won. Pascal Struyck's 92nd minute header, saving a point for Leeds. You see what it meant to them. The Ellen Road like exploded. They closed the season away to Brentford on Sunday. So Jesse Marsh and Leeds, you think they're going to do it? Are they in a good spot, Jimmy?
I don't know, because it all depends on Villa, really, because Villa's got to play Burnley and Leeds. Don't they both have them?
Burnley have Newcastle this weekend.
No, but in the last two games.
And you're right. Thursday, you're right. Villa, Burnley on Thursday. Yeah.
So
right.
It's going to be on Villa to really say who's staying up, who's going down.
Yeah.
What worries me about for Leeds, though, if Burnley don't, if they got a result, is that the way Brentford play there at Goodison Park.
Yeah.
You know, they got nothing to play for, really, but they're showing up and I can't see them doing anything different at home. So it's going to be a tough game. They'll be going out there to win it.
11th place, Brentford, right now. 11th.
Incredible.
I mean, the 2 points behind Brighton, who have been like championing all season, saying what a great variety of football they play. They're two points back of Brighton and Leicester. They're 3 points back of Wolves in 8th place. I mean, what a season. I mean, Thomas Frank might not get manager of the year. He's not sexy enough. But Jesus Christ, what a job he's done there.
Mm-hmm. They've had a hell of a season. We'll see what the second season is like, though, right? That tends to be the curse for teams like that.
It's much more difficult.
Yeah.
I would like to see Leeds stay up, though.
Me too.
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
Burnley can go to hell. Burnley can just go. I want to see Leeds stay up. I really want to see Everton stay up as well. Let's be honest here. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not try and be kind and political here. No. Burnley, nice. You did a nice job under Sean Dyche. You are a welcome addition to the league. You got some big scalps. Don't really need you in the Premier League.
I feel like that. Burnley.
Harsh.
No, I feel like that as well.
Poor town of Burnley. 60,000 people, smallest place ever to play in the Premier League. And you know that you're not going to get any backlash because they're so small.
Yep.
That's why you're saying
you can afford losing Burnley. But if Sean Dyche was still there, I'd be still
here. Yeah, damn right.
Yeah.
I would be as well. Isn't that a Christmas song? The poor little town of Burnley.
Yeah, that's right. There's a donkey involved, wasn't there? And an inn for the night. Yeah. Oh, little town of Burnley.
If they go down, that could be a song they sing in the stands, to be honest. Those smaller teams have some very interesting songs. If you hear them in the ground, it doesn't stand out as much as when you just like hear the radio track played. Or read the lyrics, but I remember Huddersfield Town. It's like two little boys and two little dogs or something. Do you remember that? We had someone on from Huddersfield back when they were in League One Charms, and we asked them about the song. And I brought it up to make fun of it. And this guy, very defensive about how great and how much it meant to the city. And I realized, yeah, I probably shouldn't be taking the piss about your songs. Obviously, it's continued for 100 years.
I tell you the best song from a club and supporters and – they really don't give a shit because they put no effort into it. It's Millwall. We are Millwall, super Millwall. You don't like us. We don't care. We are Millwall from the den. It's so plain. It's like, you don't like us and we don't give a shit. Sorry.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good. It's not as plain as go Leafs go.
That's true. Yeah. If you believe in the nativity, right? If you believe in Christianity and you believe that God put Mary and Joseph and a donkey, right, to create Jesus Christ, and they chose Burnley as the town, then I don't think Christianity would be quite as popular as it is today.
Yeah, because the Romans, it'd be too cold.
Freezing.
I don't think the Romans would have any interest going there.
They're not wearing those robes, you know, and sandals like the Romans were there. Scene.
What are you talking about, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you what, that baby wouldn't have lasted very long in freaking Burnley overnight in a bloody stable, would he?
Well, you guys know the Romans weren't around. You guys know the Romans weren't around when Jesus was born, right?
No, they don't.
They weren't at the party?
I love where we go with this. I do. I think we're going to have to get to a break in a second.
Actually, no, he was before the break, wasn't he a striker? Pontius Pilate?
Yeah, I played for DC United. That's when Giro was there.
Huh? Yeah, break is perfect.
No, Chris Pontius Pilate. That's it. Well, what's Chris Pontius doing now? Coaching?
I don't know.
Same as Chris Pozniak. What's Poz doing now? Is he coaching?
Coaching.
Is he coaching? Good.
Yeah.
At TFC in the academy.
He's at TFC,
right?
Yeah.
That's right. Of course he is. Yeah. Good stuff.
Okay. So Burnley, then we mentioned the situation that they're in. 1-0 loss away to Tottenham. Harry Kane with a penalty in the 8th minute of first half stoppage time. The only one of 8 Spurs shots Nick Pope didn't stop. Pope was good, but yeah, Burnley visit Villa on Thursday. Then they're home to Newcastle Sunday. They finish the season. I think they can get 3 points there. I do, maybe 4, but who knows? If they go down, I'm not bothered by them. Any points on Watford 1, Leicester 5, Aston Villa 1, Crystal Palace 1, Wolves 1?
That wasn't a bad game. That wasn't a bad game.
Which one?
The Villa game. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Palace deserved the point, and they got it. Jeffrey Schlupp. I think Villa played okay, but just didn't do enough to kill it off. And when you're at home, you know, they're a team that can play really well. They should, I think they're a better side than Palace. But when you don't earn it, you share the points. That's what happened.
How about Jamie Vardy? 2 more goals, 16 on the season once again. It's incredible, isn't it, what he's doing?
We keep talking about pace, right?
How many games has he actually started?
Exactly. Yeah, he's been hurt so much. That was also Roy Hodgson's final game at Watford.
Oh, really? They're not keeping him?
Oh, they signed, who is it? The green team from League One.
Yeah, from Forest Green Rovers.
Forest Green, Forest Edwards. Green. Yeah, Rob Edwards. Yeah. So not some sexy European we never heard of. It's some lower league guy we never heard of.
Well, that, you see, there's a very good example of taking your opportunity. That guy is going to a club that he pretty much knows that he's going to last 6 months at.
Mm-hmm. When you said the green team from League One, I thought, who was managing Saint-Étienne and is now going to Watford?
Oh, Ligue 1, I get it. Well done. Even worse lines than that.
So international. Okay. All right. Well, I think perfect time for a break, and we can wrap up some of the other stories on the other side. So Chelsea didn't win the FA Cup on Saturday, but they did win the FA Cup on Sunday, the Women's FA Cup. So shout out to Canadian Women's National Team star Jessie Fleming for another trophy. As they've built a good team, Chelsea, that women's team, Craig. They're
closing in on a dynasty, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They're, I mean, serial winners recently. 2 back-to-back FA Cups, league as well. Jessie is a fine player. She came on in the 80th minute. So she was on for the extra time and whatnot. But great spectacle. 49,000 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Women's game is absolutely exploding the popularity of it all over the world.
Sam Kerr is an absolute monster, by the way. Like, she just scores big goals in big games. And Emma Hayes, I mean, at what point do you, at some point, a club's going to take a flyer on a women coach, right? It's going to be the first one, right, to give a women coach a chance with the men's team. Emma Hayes has done everything you can possibly hope for, really. And we hear her speak, one of the most well-spoken, intelligent football people. I would love to see a team take a chance on her. Maybe she wouldn't want it. I don't know. At least get her in the backroom staff somewhere and ease her in. Because there's no reason why she couldn't do a job, I don't think. Assuming the men's players would accept her. I mean, you guys played. I mean, I know you've been retired a long time now. But do you think a men's team would, at this point, are they ready now to open up to a women coach, or are we still a little bit far away from that?
We're getting close. We're getting very close. And when you're talking about somebody like Emma Hayes, you're talking about somebody who's really close, in my opinion. And I know you're quite high on her as well. Sharms is very well spoken, and I think that somebody will actually take a chance, and I don't see any problem with that. Just as I didn't see any problem with John Herdman coming over from a women's program, because we knew what he was like, we knew how he coached, we knew just about everything about him, and he fit in so well. So I think she would too. But you're always going to have barriers. I mean, Paul Pesce-Salido, our good Canadian buddy, we had on a couple of weeks ago, married to Karen Brady, who's chairwoman of West Ham United. Well, she took over Birmingham City when she was 23 years of age as a managing director. And there's boardrooms that they didn't allow women in, period. They just weren't allowed. And she's, well, hold on a minute. First women general manager of a football club. Mm-hmm. Took that club, made a massive profit. I think they sold it for $92 million profit, and then took over West Ham later. But, you know, we know somebody that has actually had to battle through that a different part of the game, but a very serious part of the game, maybe even more so when you look at the old white guys that are holding on to the power of football in the upper echelons of the game.
Sticking on the women's game, Ashley Lawrence and PSG won the Coupe de France. She scored a brace in that, so nice to see more trophies in the cabinet. Last summer, was it 13 or 15? I guess I wasn't counting the FA Cup there or last year, but 13 or 15 Canadian internationals, men's and women's players, had come away with domestic titles.
Wow.
So a little, little lower this year, but still nice to see a few pieces of silverware.
Yeah. I'm going to start getting cocky.
What do you mean?
About our Canadian team program. Just like what the fuck? Hey, start throwing stuff out like, hey, we've won an international tournament before last time England's won one. Throw that shit out.
You should tweet it. Actually, people love that on Twitter. You should tweet it. Yeah. Tweet it from the Footy Prime account.
Yeah, but 80% of my followers are from England, so I got to...
Just say to all the arrogant English pricks out there, here's one for you. Just see how that goes down.
Get your trophies on the table.
Yeah.
You losers.
Yeah, and the 66 guys are dropping like flies, so going to be hardly any of them alive.
We've spoken a lot more than I expected to in the middle of May about rumors, but have you seen the internet having a flyer on our John Herdman?
I have not seen this.
Burnley?
Yeah.
Burnley, QPR, and Blackburn supposedly interested in John Herdman.
Really?
To fill their vacant positions.
Not yet, John. Please, not yet.
No, not a chance he leaves before Qatar. I mean,
not before Qatar. No, no.
Honestly, I was thinking about what jobs would it be? Like, will he take a meeting? He should take a meeting because I'm sure he'd learn a lot from it.
And I'm sure he would.
We know him as a person. Like he'd be able to take a lot away from that to apply to what he's currently doing, whatever he wants to do. But as far as jobs that would take him away now, other than the England job, is there one? And knowing him as a person, I don't even know if he would do that. I don't even know if he'd take that.
Well, I mean, what he does, what John's done with the women and men is built the psychological profile of his teams, right? He made them believe that they're better than they probably actually are. That's what he does. But he also needs resources too. Mm-hmm. So where's the fit there? A team that's lower down who can then come up, win promotion perhaps? Maybe a Burnley? I don't know. I mean, they're probably all good fits, I suppose, but not just yet.
Not just yet. I mean... Only he would be able to answer that question, but a lot of thought would be going into it. He'll get his opportunities, but he also doesn't want to go to the World Cup and get, you know, banged up three games straight. That's never good for the CV because the CV is looking pretty good right at the moment, right? So those opportunities and certainly the phone calls are probably ringing, absolutely. But I think he wants to finish the job off would be my thought.
Do you think, okay, let me ask you, all of you, do you think, what are the odds that he is coaching Canada by the time 2026 rolls around?
I think he'd be gone.
So do I.
I think he'd be gone. I think, look, you got a women to a World Cup, you got the men to a World Cup, and you've had great success. Now he probably wants to test himself in at club level. So, and it's going to be interesting as well, you know, especially these three clubs that want him. They're good clubs. How bad do they want him? Mm-hmm, you know, would they turn around and say, okay, listen, we know you're going to a World Cup. We'll put an interim for the time being until you're done the World Cup and then you come in. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, I'm sure the clubs are trying to weigh up options of thinking, okay, how do we secure his service?
Rennick
knowing
can
that
do
we
it,
got an international coming in. Yeah.
Rennick's doing both jobs, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. If that came out, how would that affect Canada at the World Cup? If you know, not that he's lame duck, but you know that as soon as you board that flight leaving Qatar, no matter when in the tournament it is that it's over for you, you know that he's out the door onto the next thing. Erik ten Hag didn't even go to Ajax's celebration. Soon the match ended and he's left straight into the next job.
Yeah, I don't think it would affect the players at all. Because that's the final of that what's the word I'm looking for?
Chapter?
Cycle.
No, they have that cycle. Yeah. So if the players have gone through qualifying, they've won CONCACAF, now they're going to World Cup. Once that cycle's finished, now it's okay, we got some time off, and now we gotta focus on the Gold Cup that's gonna be coming up next. And then again with World Cup qualifying. So they're not even looking past the World Cup. Mm-hmm. That won't affect them at all. At all. Because there's going to be different players going into the next World Cup.
The worst thing about losing John Herdman is the fact that he's actually grown roots here and not just the actual community he lives in Vancouver, but in football. He's done so much for the game and the relationships that he's built in and out on and off the fields, it goes an awful long way. It really does. Like, even like say a guy like Ancelotti, you know, he's spends his wife's from West Vancouver, spends a lot of time out there when he's not managing. Say he takes it over. Okay. We've all agreed that he would be, you know, a fantastic manager to do that. But what's the long-term, you know, point of having him, you know? That's what John has built here. But I do agree with you, Jimmy. I think that he will not be here in 26. I think that the opportunities are going to come about. And he, just like he told the women, I want to challenge myself in something else. He will want to challenge himself at league football. But he would also tell you, and he's open about it, that he has never done that before. He's a tournament qualifying coach. Yeah. He's been at 13, 14, 15 international tournaments with women and men. He knows how to manage that day in, day out football. I think it actually suit him because he probably drives him freaking crazy sitting around for months, you know. Yeah. But I think there's a time that's going to take him to settle into that, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think if I was him, there's one club that I'd be looking at if I wanted to do it, especially domestically, would be the Whitecaps. Mm. The Whitecaps would be the job that I think would be great for him. He lives out there. His family's settled there. If I'm the Whitecaps, I'd be going, let's have a little sniff at John Herdman because he knows all the Canadian players inside out. Yeah. He knows the landscape. He knows the North American market. And I think if Herdman went MLS first and got a taste of it, you know, got his feet wet at club football, and then make the jump over to Europe. Because like we talked about before, there's no promotion relegation here. So if he goes to the Whitecaps, he could have 3-4 years and really build it, put a stamp on the club. If he goes over to England now and he takes a QPR or he takes a Blackburn, things don't go well, they get relegated, like he's finished after that.
I just don't think he's going. He would not leave the national team for MLS. He will leave the national team for Newcastle United or a decent-sized team with ambition in England.
Yeah.
MLS, he's not going there. Not a chance. Hmm. He's not leaving Canada to go there.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of money with Canada, too. Like, I mean, I don't know exactly what his contract is. But he's,
but same with MLS. So they pay decent money. They would match it.
No, I see Jimmy's point,
though.
They're
paying $1 million-plus a year?
MLS for coaches?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is Bradley making that at Toronto?
Afford it.
Probably, I guess.
Bradley's making a fortune.
Yeah.
But John wants, imagine wherever he goes, he wants full control as well. He's not going to come in as a coach. He wants full control. If it was Vancouver sniffing around, is Bob ready to let go? Let someone else take the reins, you know, and build that as a club? I don't know.
I don't know. Bob's on leave right now anyway, that he's been at the club for weeks.
Yeah, Leonard Doozy has had his hands off of it. I thought you were making a TFC reference there.
No, the other Bob.
No, Leonard Doozy's been hands off. All right, so we've wasted.
And they don't spend enough. They don't spend enough. They're not competitive enough as well.
Is he really hands off? I know what you're saying, but is he really hands off, though? Is he really hands off?
I don't know. The last couple of years, he's tried to step away.
He's not vocal or in the spotlight, that's for sure. I understand. But anyway, let's not speculate. I don't know.
I don't know what the email lists are.
Well, the team isn't exactly blowing it up, is it?
No.
Well, we spent a few minutes on speculation of where John Herdman will go. Here's some certainties, okay? Atletico confirmed that Luis Suarez is leaving. So I very much look forward to that being the next Aston Villa signature after Phil Coutinho's permanent move was confirmed. God, Suarez and Coutinho at Villa.
Where the hell is Danny Ings fit into that picture?
I'd be a pig in shit. I tell you what, I like Danny Ings, but it hasn't worked for him, and it screwed up what was great with Ollie Watkins, to be honest. I think Watkins hasn't been as good this season, and West Ham will be in for him. And I think it just messed it up. He wasn't the type of guy that was going to come in as cover, or maybe deserves to. I think he deserves to start in at least half of the teams in the Premier League right now, Danny Ings. So I can see why Villa thought it was a good move, but it just didn't work. So I take Luis Suarez or someone who you can kind of use in more of that 60-30 role on either side of it than I think Danny Ings is a player now. So who wouldn't want Luis Suarez? Come on. And wouldn't you rather see him in the Prem rather than MLS?
Every dentist would want him.
He's got enough Liverpool connections. He knows where to go if he wants to get it done. I guess he just doesn't want to do it. Paulo Dybala is leaving Juventus. There'll be a few English names linked with him as well. I'm interested to see where he ends up. Erling Haaland scored a penalty for Borussia Dortmund in his last send-off. Did you see that?
I did not.
He'll score many goals for Man City, as we discussed on the last show. But those Dortmund fans had a special player for a short period, which I guess we could say about a few Dortmund players in the past.
Yes, you could.
AC Milan closing in on the Scudetto for the first time in 11 years since we had it on the score, Sharms.
When is Inter playing?
Inter beat Cagliari 3-1 on Sunday.
Oh, they beat Inter, today. I know they
were. So one match left next weekend, and it's a two-point gap. So AC Milan have a two-point edge, and they finished the season against Sassuolo, who are mid-table 11th. So I think Inter fans would feel it would take a bit of a miracle for that to be Nerazzurri instead of Danny Dicchio's red and black.
It's good to see Milan. They've been out of the picture for a long time. It's good to see them get back in there where they belong.
Heartbreaker for TFC, eh, Jimmy?
Oh,
losing 1-0 late to Orlando? What happened?
Yeah. Set play, last minute header. Killed them.
Didn't they lose in the last minute to Vancouver pretty much too?
Yeah, they're going through a little spell right now. You know, they're missing some players, and obviously they're waiting for the big man to come. Which he had his send off at Napoli, so
that VAR decision was terrible.
Hey, it was brutal. Ugh. They're getting rocked at the moment. Silly decisions going against them, but you know there was some good play, and you could see, it's there, it's coming, but they just need a little bit of luck right now.
Mm-hmm. Vancouver got some luck. 90th minute equalizer at home to San Jose, 6-goal thriller. Hope you took the over. I didn't see that, nor did I see Montreal's win in Charlotte. But Montreal are putting together some decent results. Take notice.
Montreal look pretty good.
Yeah, right? They're decent. Not bad. Yeah,
they got a good setup. They got a good balance. I like Wilfred Nancy when he speaks, and seems like he's got a good thing going. You know, I think we all had hope that Thierry Henry would turn them into something really special and be able to attract some players that we haven't seen Montreal attract in a while, or elevate that. And I think what's come of that is Nancy has been able to do that and take that.
I can't believe that it didn't work with Thierry Henry. I'm just blown away by that.
Well, was this a bit of therapy for you boys, the two Jimmies? After your Leafs debacle, are you going to go watch my New York Rangers in Game 7?
I tell you what, I feel a lot less. This time last year, I was very, very angry. I'm not angry this year, so it's fine. Yeah, maybe because Liverpool won the FA Cup the same day, kind of.
We should get Dave Randorf on here. He's a play-by-play guy for Tampa Bay. He used to work in Canada, got fired by TSN, calling Toronto Maple Leaf games, goes to Tampa. First year there, Stanley Cup.
You got
thank you.
You got the name wrong there, by the way. It was the other company.
Oh, was he working for Rogers, was he?
And it was Rogers, yeah.
Oh, right.
He left TSN on his own.
At
the start of the hockey.
Are you guys gonna blow up into a ball of fire if you say Sportsnet?
Yeah, I didn't know what that was about.
I was like, wait, you can say the words.
Yeah. I was like, is there a secret that I don't know?
No.
The hockey deal is looking better and better every year, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and this is very selfish for me, but if Herdman goes over to the EPL and fails, then the next step is Footy Prime for Herdman.
Is that step down or step up?
I think it's a step up, in my opinion.
If you talk
Burnley
to
Burnley or Footy Prime,
Millwall or Footy Prime, you tell me.
If you compare some of his current Zoom meetings to the ones that we have here, it's a lateral move. I think it's a lateral move. All right, well, this just in, this just out, boys. I think that's the end of it. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for making yourselves available, boys, on a beautiful 28-degree Sunday night in Toronto.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.